We're continuing this call to help us take practical first steps in the things that God wants to do in our lives. And we're going to remember some of the goals, some of the plans God has for us. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we read some scripture together this morning, if you would. We're going to read it out loud in a moment. And after each verse, I'm going to say a prayer. You know, every time we come to church, it's this unique combination of, God, I need something right now from you. Lord, I need you right now. And at the same time, God is trying to build a life over the years. He's trying to build something over a lifetime in you. And we're going to come to a word that is about right now, but it's also about you growing and preparing for what God wants to have. So as we do that, we want the word of God just to speak to our hearts. And so would you just open up? The scripture is God's word to us this morning. So would you read it out loud with me as you can? Let's do it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Lord, I ask right now for both online and every one of my friends here this morning. Lord, would you remind us of your plans? Father, let your plans be more powerful than our fears, our circumstance, our tiredness, dear God, our discouragement. I pray this morning that, Lord, your plans for us would fill us in a new way. And Lord, I pray that you would break every work of the enemy. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's read this next one together. The thief Satan comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, that's not just words on the page. That's by your spirit. You're speaking that to every person here right now. Every person, Lord, and I pray that anybody in this room who feels empty this morning, anybody online discouraged, Lord, you have come to bring life and to the full. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would rebuke and remove every plan of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. I pray over their mind, over their heart, Lord, over their physical body, healing would be now, dear Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, that nothing of the enemy would come between them and the relationships that they care about. But Lord, you would break that and give them a new beginning now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's read one more together. This is the words of Jesus. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Lord Jesus, we just press into you and your word. You have come to bring peace. Peace that this world cannot give, and peace that this world cannot take away. And Lord, I ask now, no matter what trouble, Lord, we might be walking through, that Father, you would come by your Holy Spirit, that Jesus, you would come into every heart and every mind right now, and you would bring peace. The answer is in you, not in a person, not in a bank account, not in a job, Lord, not in any sort of other thing. It's in you this morning. And we ask that every word that we say, and Lord, as we read through the scripture today, Lord, peace would come into every life. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God has this goal to bring blessing into your life, to show the world how good he is. He wants to use your life to do it. He has a goal to fill you up and not let the lies and the counterfeits of this world come into your life and then leave you empty. He has a goal to bring you peace. And the question is, what steals it the most? What in everyday life comes and gets you to worry? We heard such a great word last week about the idea of worry. Pastor Anidjar talked about being that friend that speaks to the most important things in our life. And what's that thing? What's important to you that's stealing your peace? And more specifically in the spiritual realms, what that seems so practical and almost separated from your faith is actually something that the enemy's trying to use to steal the goal that God has for your life. Well, you know, if you are like most people, if you're like me, if you're like the topic Jesus talked about almost the most outside of forgiveness and the Father, then the thing that steals your peace the most is this right here. Money. Dinero. Worrying about taking care and providing. And we as Christians, we kind of have this tug of war of, well, money's worldly and that's not spiritual. And yet Jesus spoke about money. You're going to see so many scriptures about Jesus talking about money, because in the end, money has this ability to take the place of God in our lives in certain ways. And so the world, it's interesting, I read all of these articles about money and stress. Money is one of the top three things that marriages fight about and divorce about. Money, one of the surveys I read says 85% of Americans say they consistently worry about money. 30% say they constantly worry about money in a daily basis. It's this thing that worries us so much. And out of all the things I read about it, the answer was always the same. You should save more, all right? The world's answer to you having anxiety and worry and fear about money is hold on to more of it. Now, it's actually a biblical thought to steward your money well, like not to spend more than you have, to think about savings. That's a good thing. But what's missing is that shouldn't be the first answer, because it's not the ultimate answer. The world says if you want to stop worrying about money, the way to stop worrying about money is to hold on to more of it. But as we heard last week, Jesus was the one who said, no, you can't serve two masters. Money, the more you hold on to it, the more it holds on to you. And the way to have freedom from worry in finances is not to try to worship it more. It's to make sure that Jesus is getting the first place in your worship. And so what the Bible says is the answer to worry about money is to make sure that you give to God first in life. You put God first in your finances. And that's a very practical thing to do. But when you do that, what it does is it breaks the power of money to say, I'm the master. And if you don't believe that, just think about all the people you love and what you would love to do for them and what you would love to give them. But the problem is your credit card, your car payment, and your mortgage say you can't do it. In other words, money's telling you what you can and cannot do. Now, we all have reasonable limits to what we can do. And one of the reasons why God doesn't make it so that money is every answer is because money's not the ultimate answer of anything. Money isn't a thing everybody needs. And here's the little secret that we need to recognize this morning. Money is actually not about money. Money is not about money. Money is about peace. Money is about the three ingredients of peace. Faith, hope, and love. Because money is what we trust in. Like when we want to bless our children or we want to take care of something or we wish we could do more for somebody, the first thing we think about in the world is money. And so it's really about what we have faith in. And money is a lot about how we feel about hope for our future. If I have a certain amount of money, I'm more hopeful about my future. So money is really about hope. It's what I'm banking on to give me a good future. And money is also about love. The Bible's got to tell us we got to be careful about loving money because it's the root of all kinds of evil. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've learned that sometimes when you love the wrong person or you love the wrong thing, it doesn't love you back the right way. And so money is actually something that is very important spiritually. It's why Jesus talked about it so much, because money represents, it has this way of trying to be a counterfeit and a substitute for peace in our lives. And so we want to look at that. As a matter of fact, the Bible has so much to say about this topic. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Money can't bring us everything that brings joy and health, but God can. And the Bible says it's uncertain. You can't put your hope in money. It goes on to say, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold." I think this is an interesting line. "So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." Money offers this version of life, and the Bible says that's not real life. Money's not about money. It's about faith, it's about hope, and it's about love. And I want you to see this more. And we're going to talk about, and we're just going to kind of take a stroll through the Bible about why the answer to having peace in my life is to give to God first. Now, I know a lot of times churches either talk too much about money or not enough, and sometimes it's manipulative or it's self-interest. My goal is not for us to have a great service or anything to do about the church. My goal is to be a good pastor in discipling you in a place that Jesus talked about more than almost any other topic while he was on earth. Because this has a way, the enemy has a way of using this to steal and confuse us and build anxiety in our lives. So we're going to talk about the why, the how, and the what of giving to God first. And when we come to the issue of why should I put God first in my finances, we're going to really look at three reasons. One is about who he is. One is about who we are. And the last is about the world around us, because they're all important answers. So here's the first one. Why should I put God first in my finances? First, about him. Because the first belongs to him and brings us to him. You see, God has built a world that as we recognize that he is first, and as we live that out, we stay close to him. You and I tend to get worried about things, and then we react. We react. We don't think. We don't obey. We react. We see that bill, or we get that worry, or we think about our kids' future, and we start reacting and thinking like the world when it comes to areas of finance. The tragedy of that is it builds fear in us. It breaks down our faith, it breaks down our hope, and it breaks down our ability to love everybody else and God well. God is first. He was here before the world. He was here before us. He brought us into this world. And so if we want to know him and stay close to him, we have to treat him first as he is. In Exodus 13:2, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first to be born of all living things belongs to me." The first of everything belongs to God because he is first. In Deuteronomy 14:23, we saw the scripture during our tithe and tithe worship moment. It says, "Bring the tithe, the first 10% of what we have, to my place of worship. Doing this will teach you always to honor the Lord your God and put him first in all things." Now, it's interesting. when Jesus says there's two gods you've got to battle against, there's the true God and then there's money. The one's going to be your master of your life. The reason why God calls us to put our finances, put God first in our finances, because when we can do that with our money, we usually can do it in every other area of our life. Like, that's how strong, that's how much of an act of worship and an act of submission it is. When we put our money where our mouth is, we start really living in that place. The other thing very interesting about this verse, and there are so many other verses, but I chose one for kind of each point, is that when you talk about the tithe in the Bible, it never uses the word give. It never tells you to give a tithe. It tells you to bring one. Why? Because it's already God's. All right? So if Tim borrowed my car, I wouldn't say, hey, would you give me a car back? I would say, would you bring my car back to me? Why? Because it's mine. You're not giving it to me. You're just returning it. That's the idea of the tithe. I don't know if you need a car or not, Tim, but you probably wouldn't want mine, to be honest. But it's that idea of I'm bringing back what is God's. So when we look at this world, there are a lot of times this world kind of filters into our Christianity, and we start thinking about a topic more like the world, but we kind of slap some Christian stuff on top of it. So we talk about the principle of the first, because this is the biblical understanding of money and all that we have. This is the biblical. This isn't the world's version. This is what the scripture says. God chooses the first to represent the rest. When we give him the first, we are bringing all that we are to him. And I just want you to think about this in common sense. When I do first when I'm happy, if I get good news, the first person I share it to is usually the most important to me. If all of a sudden I do have some more money and I can go bless somebody, the first person I go to use that money for, it shows where my heart is. So when my first is to God, it's really my way of keeping everything to God. And because I do that, I'm not giving it to him. I'm not kind of chucking it out. I'm like, God, I'm bringing it and I'm coming close to him by doing that. Very important biblical principle where the world and sometimes what I call pop Christianity has really not looked at well. God is first. And so everything that's first belongs to him. Our first breath, the reason we come to church on Sunday is it's the first day of the week. We give him our first as we come into that week. So let's talk about us. Why should I put God first in my finances? Because greed will destroy my life and my family. See, I'm selfish. I've got this sinful nature, and I want and I want and I want. And when I get, am I satisfied? No, I want more then. All right, because I worship self. I worship what I can have. And God gives me the ability. He gives me the gift of putting him first in my finances to save me from this. I think it's Proverbs 15, I think it's around verse 20, says, a greedy man brings trouble to his family. Because I tell you what, when I get caught up in more and more and more, I feed self, and when I feed selfishness, no relationship works in my life because I'm all about me. And so Jesus actually gives us, God gives us the rescue of giving the first to him to save us from greed. Jesus said, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. The person who finishes life with the most toys loses. Doesn't win, loses. Because our heart can't hold on to all that stuff and hold on to people well. Now, if God's blessed you with a great income and you're going to be a blessing, we'll get to why you have that next. But we've got to be careful of this issue of greed in our lives. 1 Timothy 6 says some interesting things about the issue of riches. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Got that house? Now I want a bigger house. Got that car, now I want a bigger car. Got that new thing of shoes and gonna want the next one. Got my next iPhone and gonna have to have the next one after that. It's just all of a sudden a cycle that pulls me away from focusing on God begins to happen in my life. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's not money. Money by itself is supposed to be a servant. Remember, it wants to be a master. All it's supposed to be is a servant. So on a very practical level, the reason why it's a wise thing and a biblical thing to do, why doing a budget is a biblical thing to do, is because that's your way of telling the money, your servant, your money, go do this. Right? When I have a budget, what I do is I am being the master over my money instead of money being a master over me. So the way to form a budget as a follower of Christ, not because everything you can fit, I mean, what God's going to do in your life, we're going to talk about it, not all of it fits on the spreadsheet, okay? But what you do is you say, Lord, here are my finances. What do you want to do with what you have given me? And what you start to do is you pray about it and you let God put some goals down. Some are down the road, some are this time. And then what you do, since God is now the master of your finances and you've heard from him what you should be doing with it, then you turn to your money, which is servants, and you say, here's what I want you to do every month. You go do this, you go do that, you sit put, you stay put, because I'm going to need you in about 12 months. I need a lot of your friends around you to do what I got to do. All right? It's that kind of idea. That's the practical way that we make sure money is not the master of our lives, saying, well, I got to, you know, rob from Peter to pay Paul, and I got to do this. No. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the Lord to show me, and instead of loving money, I'm going to love God, and I'm going to let money do what my God wants it to do. Not the other way around. It goes, all right, we're good there. All right, next one. Why should I put God first in my finances? Because God's goal is to make me a blessing to the world, just like Jesus. He wants me to be like Jesus. He wants me to be someone who doesn't come to be served, but to serve. Someone who's not like, gimme, gimme, gimme. No. I want to give my life. How do I begin to live in that? I give my first as an expression of all that I am. I want to give my life so that others may know him. I love this verse in Luke 16. This is Jesus speaking. And again, I only chose a few of the money Jesus verses there are. All right? Jesus is saying, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, make sure it's a servant doing what it's supposed to do, who will trust you with true riches? Wow. Jesus saying, yeah, that worldly wealth, that's not the best stuff. That's not what your heart should be after. That's not what real life is all about. And notice what he says next. This is Jesus. If you have not been trustworthy, notice what he says, with somebody else's property. What's he talking about? What belongs to God first? If you're not taking care of God's property, doing what you need to do with it, who's going to give you more of your own? So really, we're blessed to be a blessing. We're saved to turn around and help others know the good news about Jesus. So it kind of looks like this. Let's do this. God gives to us. He's going to take care of us. He gives to us so then we can give to others. So it kind of looks this way. Who should I do this with? All right. Wendell, can you help me out? Wendell, Pastor Nige is awesome. Could you give her this for me? It's a whole dollar. Okay, a little bit more. Okay, here you go. Wendell, could you make sure that, did you catch it? All right. How about, here's a five. Can you make sure Anidra gets this for me?
This is my life anyway.
This is your life at all points. Just read the joke the other day, said someone stole my credit card, but I didn't call it in because they're spending less than my wife. So I thought it's kind of a funny joke. Can you give this 20 to Anidra?
Okay. Can you give this 100 to Anindra?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's really not working with the analogy at all, Anindra. But the larger the bill gets, the slower the handoff gets, right? It's like, oh, yeah. It's like, and it's kind of that way. Like, God, you know, kind of we start where we are with whatever money we have. And one of the lies financially, could you hold that but give that back to me a little later, Pastor Anindra? We'll pray. Okay, we'll pray. So one of the lies about putting God first in our finances is I don't have a lot of money right now, so I'm not going to do it until I have more. When I have more, I'll give more. Well, it's kind of like this issue. It's like when I just have a little and it's like, all right, God, you know, the tithe is a dollar. Here you go. You know, as a matter of fact, I have two because I can't really do anything with it. It's not that hard for it to go from God's hand to your hand to the next person. But once the $100 bill starts passing by your hand, it's a little harder to do because it's like, what do you think? I could do a lot with this. And actually, you know what all statistics tell us? That the more money you get, the less you give. Why? Because all of a sudden, in your thinking, I've got a certain amount of money, and what do you think? I could do a lot with this. And yet, in that moment, what's happening? Our heart is shifting from my life is God's and I am living for him to I think I can be God and I can get this done. And so what we want to do is we want to avoid that because that will, I tell you what, anytime you decide I am the answer for faith, hope, and love, you're going to get hurt. It's not going to go well because that's a lie of the enemy. And money is this practical way that happens without us even thinking about it. All of a sudden, our hearts shift. And so we've got to really return back to putting him first in our finances. So the question is next is how? Well, how do I put him first? Most of you, if you've been around church long enough, know that it's really this thing called the tithe. And it's this idea of the first belongs to God. Now, here's the important part of this. A tithe, which is 10%, it's literally the word, it means 10%. It's about giving God the first, and here's important, by faith. Because remember, everything we do with God is by faith. It doesn't mean we don't understand it, but we've got to do it by faith. And where we can get mixed up is we can decide to give it by leftovers instead. So it's like, well, I love God, I want to trust him, but I can't really this week and next week, but if I have anything left over, I'll give that to him. Once you do that, once I do that, we're no longer in faith anymore. Now we're back into me, how I'm holding on to it, what I'm doing with it. So Leviticus 27:30, 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain for the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. So what we do is we don't say, well, I'll see how much I have at the end. No, what we do is we start with, this is his. This is his by faith. And now, Lord, man, I'm so excited. You've blessed me with all this still to love those around me, to care for everybody else, to be a blessing to pass on, to take care of what you've called me to be responsible for. Lord, bless this. Multiply it. Do something special with it. Help it not just be another money, what nothing's changing in our life. Lord, do something special with it. And so what we want to do is we want to remember the scripture we heard last week. Seek first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. I mean, isn't Jesus saying, don't be afraid, for your Father has been pleased to give you his entire kingdom. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Keep your treasure up here. Don't let worldly wealth and money, don't let it steal. Don't let it steal the best parts of life. Trust in him. And so really, in the end, the principle of the first, leftovers are not your first, not my first. And it requires no faith in God. And what's the shame is when we don't operate by faith, we grow distant from God. So, you know, in the Bible, there's this thing called foolishness and wisdom. And it's not the same thing as sin and righteousness. All right? Sin is, it's wrong. I've hurt somebody. I've hurt God. I've done against God. Foolishness is when I'm doing things that are setting me up to sin. That's foolishness. It's not a sin, but it sure is getting me ready to sin. And when I'm foolish with my money, what I don't realize is I'm setting myself up to have a break with God that is going to produce death instead of life in my life. And so that's why we want to follow the biblical principle of the first. Now, what happens when I put God first in my finances? And the answer is, He blesses the rest in ways we cannot ask for or imagine. I am not saying I give God some money, he gives me lots of money. That's not the answer. Because money is not the ultimate answer for anything. So I'm not trying to give money to get money. What I'm trying to do is I'm giving what belongs to God, I'm bringing what belongs to God to live in His peace and blessings and to live life His way. I don't want to live life my way. I want to live it His way. And I just want to put my heart and what I am in front of Him and say, God, this is yours. Do what you want. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to how much we let Him be the power, the trust, the way we do things. If I'll do that, He's going to do more. I was talking with my wife. We were driving to visit somebody at the hospital the other day, and we're driving, and I said, you know, we're going to do this series. I'm going to be teaching about giving and about tithes, and the first belongs to Him, and then anything after that. And I asked her, I said, so what do you think is like the time we really realize the truth about giving as a couple? And this was, our kids were really little. I was the youth pastor here. And the church was having a stewardship campaign. We were trying to get ready to build that great, all those classrooms that you enjoy, the fellowship hall. And the church kind of brought some of the teaching and encouraged us on a monthly basis to give above our tithe. And we both prayed separately. I grew up very poor, so my financial thoughts usually are small. Sarah grew up pretty comfortable, and so hers are a lot bigger. And we prayed about what should we give for this, and we just felt like the Lord was saying, be part of building my kingdom and helping others get ready to know me. And we came up with a number. We came back, we prayed separately, we came back together, we had the same number. That was, yeah, you should wow. That was wow. And it was a good bit. And we gave for 3 years like that. We just thought, I think the Lord's asking us to do this. By the way, part of giving extra is gratefulness. It's like, God, you did that in me. Are you saying if I give you some, you know, it would set up the chance for someone else? Could I be part of someone else? So you give to say, God, do it again. The reason why we're so excited about New Community Church is because we're so excited about what He's did in us. Like, can we do it again? God, can we give to do it again someplace? Man, I'm in. I mean, you've already done it in me. Please do it in somebody else. That's the attitude of joyful giving. And we gave a lot. Well, it wasn't too much longer after that the Lord put adoption on our heart. And international adoption's over $25,000. And there was like no way we had that money. I mean, no way we had that money. And we just felt like, Lord, you know, here's our budget, here's what we're doing, here's how we could sacrifice, what do you want us to do? And the Lord said, I want you to do it. So my budget was a servant, but it wasn't the master either. It was still about listening to Him. We got counsel just to make sure we weren't doing something that was like, all right, are we feeding our issues somehow? It's like, what do we do? And the Lord said, no, I want you to do this. So we're like, okay, whether I got to work an extra job or we got to do this. Well, the end of the story is, I mean, God just brought in answers to when bills came up and when we owed things. Like, I to this day, I cannot explain how we paid for that adoption. Like, literally. But we didn't put in, it wasn't like we weren't obeying being the money so God would give us more money. We were being with money to get our hearts ready to say we're ready for another family member. And that's the gift, that God wants to do more. It's like I'm thinking about paying the bills and God's thinking about changing the world. And it's like, all right, God. And it's not that God doesn't care about what's worrying about us. I mean, the Bible says, cast your cares on him for he cares for you. It's just like, if I'll just put him first, I'll realize my heart's getting ready for so much more than I could ever imagine. In the scripture, it says in Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. If you don't do 10%, it's not a tithe, it's just an offering. And that's beautiful. The Lord loves offering. But you want to build into your life, you want to live fully in, God, I want to give you the first, right? That there may be food in my house. Now, that's not about us. That's about God feeding the world, right? Through his house. Test me in this. And this is the only place in scripture the Bible says you can test God in this area. Test me, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast out, you know, destroy their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. They might not call you rich. They might not call you powerful. They might not call you their leader. But men are like, you know what? They don't got what I got, but I think they got some stuff I don't got, like peace, like love, like the way they live out family. And you know, we've all worked hard and got nothing for it. You know, we've spent money and not got what we thought we were paying for. And God's saying, no, the way that it works is give to me first. And as your heart is open and just nothing is interfering with my voice and your ways, I'll direct you in all those other things. And that 90% is going to go a lot further than the 100%. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. The principle of the first, now is the time to give him your first and move towards his future. All right? We just, this is one of those areas. Sometimes we say, oh, that's just practical, or that's just what the church wants, or that's legalism. It's like, hey, that's all those thoughts are a smokescreen for the enemy keeping you in freedom and peace. And just look at the Word of God. So what we've been trying to do with each one of these messages is we're really trying, again, my goal and my responsibility as a pastor, which I love pastoring over you, I'm blessed to do it, is not to worry about us having a great service. It's about you having a great life. It's about living the life, God being great in you. And so for each sermon, we're trying to think of specific goals to call you to. And so I want to encourage you that this word is so important for you. And especially if you feel like, Pastor Sean, this is not the time, I would say no, now is the time. Now is the time to take a step. And what I would challenge each of you to do, what we're challenged is to relook at your giving and say, Lord, I want to, for the next 90 days, I want to test you in the area of faithfulness and finances. I want to put your word to the test, because the scripture says we can do that, all right? Because in the end, you can try to keep what you call your first and what I call my first, but the truth is it's God's. So I'm not keeping it, whether I give it to him or not. It's not staying with me because it doesn't belong to me. What I can do is I can try to keep it, and when I do that, I'm going to get farther from God. I'm not going to see him come through. I'm not going to be amazed at what he does. I'm not going to have more hope, more love for him. Or for the next 90 days, what I could do is say, God, it's yours. Here it is. I'm going to bring it to you. And as I do that, strengthen my faith. Let me see you provide. Let me, Lord, let me realize that your plan for my future is not everything that I got in my spreadsheet or my bank account. Lord, let me love you more and see you use me to bless others like never before. Let me share the joy of being yours. And I want to encourage you to really pray hard about this, to really take a step of victory and freedom. You'll notice in your seat pocket that we've got this first and goal card. And it's just the idea of, you know, I'm going to make a commitment to come back next Sunday, or I'm going to commit my life to Christ. the first and most important thing we're talking about, giving my first. Well, the first thing all of us have to give is our hearts to the Lord, to trust Him. We'd love for you to keep inviting friends. Lord, do it in somebody else like you're doing in me. We'd love you to take the keep growing. So many of you said yes to that. I hope a few more of you will. And then start the tithing challenge. This idea, I'm going to do this. Now, we're not going to track it in any way, but we want to encourage you to make a goal. And instead of saying, one day I'm going to do that, now's the time, everybody. Don't wait for the blessing. Don't push off the blessing. Don't push off the peace. Don't push off the answer. Say now is the time. And we're gonna wrap this all up remembering what God cares about most in us. And just that money is just this way that the enemy can try to sway us off of what's most important. And we're going to do that through communion. And so I'm going to ask our ushers if they would get ready and if Pastor Brian would come and help us out with a moment of worship. But here's what I want us to finish up with. God's not asking us to do anything that He hasn't done. Because God did give us His first by faith to make us part of His family. God gave us His Son so that He can give us all the rest of Him. That's the gospel message. I want you to look at this. Would you actually read this out loud with me right now? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God gave you His first. God gave you His best. And He did it by faith because Romans 5:8, would you read it with me? But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did it before. He didn't give us the leftovers. He gave us first. Knowing one day He would call us to Himself. God has done that. In Luke 22, I'm going to invite the ushers if they come, distribute the elements. Just hold on to them. Don't take them until we take them together. Luke 22, and Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant, the new beginning, the new relationship I want to have with you in my blood, which is poured out for you. By faith, God gave His first. Before, while we were yet sinners, He gave. It's the way of the kingdom of God. I love that passage in Luke 16. Do not be afraid, little flock. I've got you. And I've got all my kingdom for you. Don't live in fear. I want to fulfill my purpose. I've made you someone who my love, my gifts, my generosity can flow and touch a world around us like we celebrate even in Ethiopia. I want to encourage you for the next few moments to think about what you're grateful for. What are you grateful for that God's given you? What are you grateful for that money cannot buy and money cannot keep in your life? And as you do that, I want you to realize that it's been, that scripture, Luke 16 says, it's God's good pleasure to do that for you. He loves giving you good things. And He's going to do more. He just wants to invite you, say, hey, trust me. And this world is always preaching at you and always pressuring you to worship money the wrong way. And it's affecting our hearts the ways we don't even realize so often. But today, God's word, by His Spirit, is coming together in our life and saying, yes, Lord. I'm going to ask Pastor Brian to lead us in the simple song, Give Thanks. And as that happens, I would just invite you to think about the things you're thankful that God has given you. So let's just, you can stay seated. Pastor Brian, would you lead us in that?